The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethsaida, people brought to him a blind man, then begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Putting spittle on his eyes, he laid his hands on the man and asked, "Do you see anything?" Looking up, the man replied, "I see people looking like trees and walking." Then he laid hands on the man's eyes a second time, and he saw clearly. His sight was restored, and he could see everything distinctly. Then he sent him home and said, "Do not even go into the village." The Gospel of the Lord. In the early church, in the first few hundred years of our church's history, think how often it was asked, "What did the apostles say about that? What did the apostles say Jesus meant when he said those words? Or when he did that sign?" And in the earliest years, some of the fathers, some of the great saints, they actually knew the apostles. For those first few generations, that still would have been alive. You know, the apostles said, and it's something we no longer have in the church today. So what do? This is why we go back to the fathers. This is why I oftentimes refer to the fathers. They are the greatest commentators on Scripture, because they had the best sense of what our Lord meant when he did these things. So what do the fathers say about today's gospel? Our Lord is in Bethsaida. And it says they bring a blind man and he brings him outside of the village. Why would he go outside the village? What do we later learn about Bethsaida? It's one of those villages that our Lord speaks out against, that he reprimands because of their unfaithfulness. He says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Chorazin. If the miracles done in your presence had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago." And so our Lord goes outside the village. Why? In condemnation against them? The fathers say, because of his mercy. Because of their unfaithfulness, even if they saw a miracle, they still would not believe. And so better that the miracle is not performed in their presence, and they continue to reject him, because then their souls would have been in an even worse state. And so he does the miracle outside of their presence. And it made me think how often we say, "Gosh, Lord, if you would just let that person see a miracle. You know, something extraordinary would happen in their lives. You know, why don't you grant that?" Because he's merciful. And if their hearts are so hard that they still would not believe, it's better that they not see any miracles. And so better just to pray for the gift of faith for them, or a softening of their hearts. Just one more thing that the father said. This very bizarre incident where our Lord lays his hands on the man and he only sees partially. Right? Why not a total miracle? The fathers say this. The reason why he did not see at once perfectly was that he did not have perfect faith. For healing is bestowed in proportion to faith. If the man had had perfect faith, he would have seen perfectly. But he doubted that our Lord could work the miracle. I have gotten into the habit in the last few years, when someone asks me to pray over them or to anoint someone in a hospital who is very sick, I always try to make a perfect act of faith before doing so, believing with all my heart that our Lord will work a miracle if necessary. Even there's been a few times where someone has already died, and I say, "Lord, I believe with complete confidence that you can raise this person from the dead if you so desire." Because I don't want that person not to be healed because of my lack of faith. Prayers are granted to the degree that we believe. And there's something very beautiful when we pray in that way, and whatever we are asking is not granted, peace can remain in our hearts, because then we can know with assurance that it is not God's will that that prayer be answered. Because it would have been, because we prayed with perfect faith, if it was His will.